The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Start spreading. Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. It is Wednesday, June 7th, and I'm sitting here in Janet's office. Janet will not be with us today. She's off today. She will resume tomorrow. She'll be here from 11 to 2 tomorrow, and she'll be here Friday from 4 to 7 and Saturday 1 to 5. For the people that don't know where we're located, we are at 3105 North State Road 7 in the Penn Dutch Plaza Shopping Center. We are on the south end at Northwest 31st Street. Penn Dutch is on the north end in the shopping center. So if you're looking to find us, the easiest way to do, if you're having difficulty, just call the store. We'll be more than happy to give you directions. And the store number is 754-307-1655. I'd also like you to make a note of that number if you have any questions about our special guest today. But the other number to put down, and I would put it down now if you have questions, is 1-888-565-1470. Again, 1-888-565-1470. And now let me bring in our very special guest, Mr. Steve Ginsburg. Steve has been with us before, and Steve does dog talk, and he is famous for that. He does training, and he makes your dog live a happier, healthier life, as well as the people who own the dog. So without any further delay, let me bring in Mr. Steve Ginsburg. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Al. Thank you very much for having me again today. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you because I know that many of our listeners do have pets, and they're always looking for answers to some of the difficulties they have with their pets. And I know we're going to try and cover many different subjects today as it relates to the pet and the family. But the first topic that I know you want to talk about is the word PACK.
Now, PACK is something that, fortunately or unfortunately, it's mentioned too often, not as anything too serious, but sometimes it's categorized as something very minor because people don't realize the importance of the pack within the household. But before I touch base on that, I think all our listeners today, Al, are living in the South Florida area, and we've all been very subject to the wonderful weather we've been having, excuse the satire. And most people don't understand that this type of weather creates a very serious problem mentally for our pets. In fact, just to bring something up that's home to me, is my big guy, Greyhound Akira, was hiding under the dining room table for, I would say, since, going back almost 48 hours.
Wow.
And during this storm, he wouldn't even go out. Not even go out, but he wouldn't even eat. So this is consistent. And there are other dogs that really become extremely stressed with severe anxiety. I had quite a few calls during the day yesterday. Not only will my pet go out, but they're having diarrhea all over the house. And this is fear. My guy at 85 pounds was shivering just from the, let's say, it's static electricity that some dogs feel. And when they feel this, there is no acknowledgement to why it's happening. So the dog tries to hide. And they hide in many different areas within the household. One of the best places to bring your pet is a closet. Leave your closet open. Don't put any lights on. Many dogs who are tiny that can go under a bed, this is probably the best place they'll go. I had one client with a very large dog. They would open the garage, open the door to their Escalade, and the dog would actually jump in the back and stay there, dark, until the storm was over. He would bark a few times, let me out, I want to come back in the house. The storm was over. So, and I bring this up for not just the acknowledgement of the problem, but for all you listeners, Al has a product that I'm familiar with, and it is exceptional. It's produced by corporation Bark. B as in boy, A, C as in Charlie, H as in hotel, just like the great composer, and it's called Rescue Remedy. Now, this product is homeopathic, and it's produced by flowers. It's natural. It basically is an incredible calming agent, and you put 3 to 4 drops in water. No matter what size your pet is, your pet's not going to drink that much. It's not going to consume that much of the water. But once it gets into the dog's system, you will not believe the after effect. It's an incredible calming agent. It's not only used during severe storms as we've been having, and you're familiar with the thunder, but for all those who have a problem with the dog taking a ride to the vet, going to the groomer, and some dogs, even though they're going someplace with mommy and daddy, they still have some stress involved. This will take care of it. Great product, again, Rescue Remedy by Bark. It's a natural stress relief for all your pets.
Well, it's also used by humans, Steve, for many, many years. They've been very effective for human dose as well.
Yeah. The big difference with the human product, I believe there's alcohol in that product, where the one for pets does not have any alcohol.
Correct.
Okay. Now to get on the subject of the pack. And, yes, we all know, all those who have dogs, that you all want to be the pack leader. Well, the pack leader is not always the one that's the senior within the household. And we calculate a pack as, let's say, husband and wife, 2 children, and a dog. You have a pack of 5. Let's say you have a child that's 10 years old. And this little girl is very unique with animals, and you've known this for many years. Well, mommy and daddy, the 10-year-old can be the pack leader. It does not have to be an adult. It does not have to be the person within the home structure that is going to be formative and is going to receive the respect of that dog or multiple dogs within the household. So everyone that tries to be the pack leader, you might be trying too hard because you might not be. So if daddy is in love with the dog and dad is semi-retired and dad is home a lot with the dog and mommy works, well, just because daddy's home a lot with the dog, it doesn't mean that daddy is the pack leader. Mom might have that strong demeanor that the dog is going to, as Aretha Franklin once sang, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And that is the priority, to build respect. It's a demeanor. Now, there are many issues and areas of pack control, and that's something that if you listeners out there have any concerns, the number was announced at the beginning of the show. I really look forward to speaking with anyone who would like to give me an idea of some issues that they might have that I might help you with.
Well, I think that's a great idea, Steve. But getting back to the issue of pack, I have a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
In a family of 5, generally the pets seem to gravitate toward the younger ones, the younger children, rather than the adult people. Why is that?
Size.
Okay. So
love.
They don't feel endangered anyway.
Not at all. But it's a point of belonging. When you have a pack, the pack can be the grandchildren coming over the house often, to see grandma and grandpa. And, what are the children do? They're on the floor playing with the dogs.
Correct.
Okay. So they're on that level, so to speak, with the animals. The animals see the younger children and the smaller children, on that level, on the floor playing, lower to them, in that facial area, which we call the dog zone. So, when you have, a puppy coming into the house, some free advice for all your listeners. Never get on the floor to play with your puppy. Not until the puppy is trained to understand who the pack leader is, or who the pack leaders are, if you want to use that plural. Because the puppy has to understand, who the pack leaders are. If mommy and daddy, who purchased the puppy, are on the floor playing with the dog, then the dog is getting miscommunication. The dog is sensing that, oh, this is my playmates. Mm-hmm. They're part of the pack. You don't want that yet. You want that after the dog goes through a training procedure. So the dog has to understand what direction it's going into. Now, you talk about the essence of the true wolf pack. And you have the omegas who take care of and train the cubs, the wolf cubs. Mm-hmm. And you also have some betas. The omegas are at the bottom of the totem pole in the wolf pack. They're going to set the structure. So mom and dad cannot be the educators to set the structure and also be on the floor at the same time with the puppies. The puppies need direction. Dogs have to have a direction of work and who to respect and who the pack leaders are. If they don't, then you have serious problems. Now, what can problems be? The normal problems: nipping, biting, mouthing, chewing on furniture, ripping paper, pulling Kleenex from a box, running to the bathroom and knowing where the toilet paper is, running through the house with toilet paper, tearing pieces of business paper. I had one of my first greyhounds. I had a check sitting on a desk, came home from work. Guess what the check was doing? The check was covering the floor in all different pieces. So everyone that's listening that has dogs or have had dogs can understand all these problems that I'm mentioning.
All right, we're coming up on intermission. We have a caller on the line.
Oh, wonderful.
By the name of Judy. So we'll take Judy when we come back from the short intermission. You're listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. My name is Al Foreman. Our very special guest today is Mr. Steve Ginsburg, and we're speaking about pets. So stay tuned. Be back in a couple of minutes.
Save-A-Lot has the entire spectrum of products to support your good health. Let's begin with those choices of organic foods at Save-A-Lot. Minimize your exposure to artificial chemicals found in fertilizers, pesticides, and GMOs. Choose organic foods and support your good health as well as supporting ethical food practices. Come into Save-A-Lot and see your organic food choices at great prices. The best prices. 3105 North State Road 7, Margate. Half mile south of Sample Road in the PennDOT Shopping Plaza. 754-307-1655.
Mr. Al Foreman and his team are working very hard to stock the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center with the best supplements, the best beauty care, the best organic groceries. But the best of the best is the prices. EDLP. Everyday low prices. We invite you to come and see what we're creating for you, the savvy health food shopper. Come see us at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7 in the PennDOT Shopping Center, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in Margate, 754-307-1655, 754-307-1655.
Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. It is the 7th of June, Wednesday. We're hoping for a little bit clearer weather, and all we could do is hope and pray and that the people that are in charge of the weather can be kind to us. Right now, we're speaking with our very special guest, Mr. Steve Ginsburg. and we're speaking about the issue of pets. And we have on the line a caller who has a question for you, Steve. Her name is Judy, I believe.
Good morning, Judy. How are you?
Good morning. Fine, and thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I wonder if you can give me some instruction. I have two Cavalier King Charles, one that is 2 years old, that's pretty cool, laid back, and I have a one-year-old that's in everybody's face and tends to want to take over the attention any time that I give to my older one. I was wondering how can I go about maybe correcting some of that behavior?
Well, congratulations on those two breeds. They're delightful, and they're always exciting. These King Charles Cavaliers are not quiet, dull animals. They're high energy. They love to love the household that they're brought up in, and they're a lot of fun, and they're beautiful to watch. More than likely, the younger one maybe feels that it's not getting enough acknowledgement from the rest of the pack, which is very possible. It's possible that the older dog could be getting a lot of acknowledgement, maybe because of its personality, because of its maturity, and it could be wanting to, let's say, compete with the older dog to get the attention of mommy, daddy, or the rest of the household. And what has to be accomplished is spending a little more time in working with the younger one and praising the younger one for what it accomplishes. Our training process, we do not use treats or food, so it's praising the accomplishment of that younger dog within the pack. So the more, let's say, the more rewards that the younger one receives, the younger one is going to feel proud of what it's accomplishing. And by feeling proud of what it's accomplishing, the sensation of wanting to be more in the spotlight is going to start diminishing.
Great. Okay, thank you. I will try that, and we look forward to hearing from you again.
Thank you very much for calling. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So getting back to the issue that we were speaking about with the pack issue, the other question I have, in addition to the youngsters coming over to the grandparents and playing, they seem to control the pack for that particular time. Mm-hmm. Now, once the kids leave, then it goes back to the parents, the grandparents, whether it be the man and woman each, or whether it be the man by himself or the woman by himself.
Right.
Is that what generally happens? That's
exactly what generally happens. Sometimes you have the owners that bring up some issues that could be, I don't want to use the word frightening, but could be of a very strong concern. And the concern is that these young dogs are going to start nipping and biting. Could be their feet, their toes, their fingers. That's if the children, these young children, walk around without shoes and socks on. This is a normal sequence, and that is called healing. Now, we do training for healing. When you walk a dog, you want the dog to walk next to you. That's healing. What the puppy or the young dog is doing with the children, the grandchildren, is they're nipping and biting. They're pushing the children in the direction they want them to go to. This is the dog that's being very active with the grandchildren. And children don't understand what's going on. There could be some nipping. And the younger the dog, by the way, the teeth are like razor blades. Mm. The teeth are very, very sharp on puppies until they start losing their puppy teeth and going into their mature teeth. So we have to be very, very careful. How do we prevent this? Well, at this point, don't allow the young children to run around the house with the puppies. You either separate the puppies from the children, or you keep the puppies in a separate room. Confinement is very important when you have a young dog in the house. Now, confinement can be one room that has two or three gates. This is the only way you're going to prevent problems from arising within the household. And you, as trying to be the pack leader, This is a priority. It's a priority in establishing what you're training the dog to do. But more important is training the dog what not to do. So the dog has to understand you can't pee-pee or poop in the house. If the client works, and excuse the pun, client, but if the dog owner, let's say, lives in a condo, and they don't want to keep on going down the elevator 13 or 14 floors, they're going to have pee-pee pads in the house. And the pee-pee pad is the one solution to prevent the dog from peeing and pooping all over the household. It has to be in that certain confined area. Now, there are many clients who have a dog trained, and we do both, training the dog to go in a pee-pee pad, also training the dog to go outside. Now, with the lovely environment we're having within the past 48 hours and also today, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of dogs won't go out. So you have the pee-pee pad that's going to be your savior at this point. Have the dog trained to pee and poop on the pee-pee pad, as well as going outside and being trained on the grass. There are people out there that are probably thinking at the same time, the ones that have a young dog and a young puppy, why is it that I'm outside with my dog for 30 minutes, he peed a little bit, but he won't poop, then he comes in the house, and 5 minutes later, he poops?
All right, what's the answer?
Well, the answer is, one thing is, you know, you can live in a 500-square-foot apartment, or you can have a 5,000-square-foot magnificent home. The dog doesn't care where you're living. Dog doesn't care that you're living maybe in St. Andrew's gated community, or you're living someplace on the beach off Commercial Boulevard. The young dog is living within your environment. That's the home of the pack, and that's the only thing the dog cares about is being with the pack owner. So the comfort of the rug, the comfort of the feeling of the rug and the dog's paws is a great comfort zone to pee and poop. Now, there's another area, dark, comfortable, warm, a corner, under the dining room table, and I'm sure there are people out there that are saying, oh, yeah, he's always pooping in the corner near the dining room table. That's a comfort zone because it's dark and it's secluded, and if the dog faces the corner, even though you're standing in back of the dog feels that, well, if I can't see you, you can't see me. And that, so we have many clients that say, why is the dog coming in the house and pooping? Well, the answer is, my friends, because there's not enough proper communication. The dog doesn't understand. And the dog wants to understand. The dog wants you to instruct, well, where am I supposed to go, Dad? Well, if the dog doesn't understand your language, my friends, the dog is not going to do what it's told to do. So one thing we do is our communication is very unique, and it creates a better understanding from dog to owner. That is the direction that we're on, and that's why we have so many great success stories. Our training procedures are in two phases. Phase one is obedience training for the dog. Phase two is owner education. The biggest problem we have, Al, is the percentage of owners that follow through to the nth degree are not there. We have many clients that, oh, I know what to do. I've done this before. Oh, I'll do it my way. Your way, let's use that expression, should be the highway, and you shouldn't have the dog if you don't listen. And we have many clients with many dog trainers, not just with us, but with other dog training, you know, facilities, dog owners, dog trainers, they just don't follow instructions. It has to be followed to that nth degree. It's just like sitting on a piano stool. If you want to play the piano, you have to sit and follow instructions and practice, practice, practice.
See, we were speaking about mainly storm situations that cause the dog to be nervous and upset.
Yes.
Now, are there other circumstances that you have come across in all your years of experience where dogs will not feel comfortable going outside with their pack leader to either urinate or defecate?
Well, you have dogs have an immediate, let's say, reinforcement of what they see, what happens to them. You've heard the old story of we had a mechanic come to the house to take a look at our car. We had a air conditioning maintenance man come to the house because he had a problem, and he stepped on the dog's tail. And this gentleman had a mustache and a red baseball cap, and he wore sunglasses. Well, every time the dog is going to see a man wearing a baseball cap and sunglasses and a mustache, he's going to think of the man who stepped on my tail, and he's going to be upset. So you have a focus, and that's why there are certain breeds that focus much stronger than others in the training procedure. There are some dogs that we can train within 5 to 7 sessions because their reinforcement, their focus is fantastic. There are other dogs that might need 12 or 15 sessions. Now, it might not be the dog.
Could be the pack leader.
It's primarily the owner, Al.
The owner,
it really is. It's the owner. And after coming back to the house after 5 or 7 sessions, and I take the leash and I work with the dog, I know right away if that owner did what he was supposed to do with the dog. So what you were saying about the stress level, so you have different issues. You have the landscapers who come with the machinery that make a lot of noise. There are some dogs that it doesn't bother. You have an issue with the pool man. He could be out there doing his thing and whistling and singing his tune. And some dogs that are very, let's say, serious protectors of territory are going to go nuts. And it's not going to stop because they're really protecting territory. Now, we can't control it. We can reduce the amount of barking, screaming, if you will, by strong training. These type of behavior problems are very typical, and the dog just has to understand to respect the owner within the house. Yeah, we can minimize it. We can't stop it, but it can be minimized. Until that dog might get used to, and that's another thing, getting used to that person coming to the household every month, the man that's spraying for bugs, the person that's doing the lawn, the person that's, you know, cleaning the pool. It's all getting accustomed to and creating good habits, like you're creating good habits within the household.
And all that can be done with training, Steve?
Yes, all that can be accomplished by training.
I know we're coming up on another intermission, so why don't we do this? And when we come back for the intermission, what I want to do is remind our listeners how they can get in touch with you, Steve, so that if they have a pet they're having difficulty with as far as any abnormality in their behavior, you can help solve the problem. But if you'd like to ask Steve a question while we are broadcasting the show today, please feel free to call 1-888-565-1470. That's 1-888-565-1470. This is Al Foreman, along with our very special guest, Mr. Steve Ginsburg, and we're going to take a short commercial break for a couple of minutes. We'll be right back.
Are you taking the recommended supplements meant to address specific health issues? If you've not been able to reach your health goals, maybe the supplements don't have the biological activity necessary. Discuss with me, Janet Cimarelli, the specific nutrients for your health issues. Quality supplements and focused nutrient dosages make a world of difference. To achieve your health goals, come to Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. Our excellent staff has combined experience well over 100 years. You get the very best supplements at the very best prices. Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center, 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655.
Janna Juice is the innovative way to get the benefits of super juices in 2 easy-to-swallow capsules. Pomegranate benefits without the sugar. Acai, noni, koji berry magnesine. lychee in two easy-to-swallow capsules. Easy to carry with you to work, when traveling, or just too busy to juice. Antioxidants that provide immune support benefits in two capsules. Find out more at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center's 3105 North State Road 7 in Margate, a half mile south of Sample Road in the PennDOT Shopping Center. Come in and speak to our friendly and knowledgeable team.
Okay, you got me now, Joe. I'll remind our listeners, this is the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. This is Al Foreman. Our very special guest today is Mr. Steve Ginsberg. And we're speaking about dog talk. If you want to get in touch with Steve, Steve can be reached at 954-304-2590. That's 954-304-2590. If you'd like to email him, please feel free to do that as well. It's sgins@att.net. Again, sgins@att.net. And again, I think Steve can help you toward achieving goals when it comes to owning a pet. I think one of the biggest problems that I've seen over the years, Steve, is the fact that when people go buy a pet for the first time, they're faced with a major process of how to train the dog, especially if they've never had one before. And I think a lot of new condo owners or new homeowners that have recently moved to Florida from other areas of the country want to have that pet, because the pet can be taken outside 365 days a year. You can walk with the pet 365 days a year, usually without this rainy weather we've been having. But in general circumstances, it's a pet that's you're with you for every day of the year, no question about it. So how do you recommend someone brand new that buys a pet, how they handle a pet or how they train the pet or what should they do?
This year, the past year and a half, Al, I've seen more clients that have had a pet for the first time or have had a pet for the first time maybe in 15 to 20 years. It could be because they're in retirement, they, the husband and wives or the couple, wants that animal in their life. Even though they do some traveling, they buy a smaller dog and they will travel with that dog. So there are so many things that I've been accustomed to that I'm rarely accustomed to, is this surprise of I've never had a dog before. Now, when that happens, I get the craziest questions. One couple said, well, is it all right if they poop on this part of the grass or on this part of the grass? Is there a special place for them to pee? So it's describing and profiling everything from, let's use the expression, from pee to poop, of how to react and how to set up, how to establish, I think is a better word to use, because establishing a place to pee and poop is the dog knowing that that's theirs. And what I mean by that is the dogs have a comfort zone of where they're going to pee and poop. That is the beginning of understanding a dog. The dog's habits, and a dog is a creature of habit. Understand what I just said. A dog is a creature of habit. Once you establish the habit, you bet to make sure that it is a habit that is positive, that is going to create a great environment for the dog and also for you as the owner. So the peeing and pooping, once a dog pees and poops, and smells where it goes outside, it's accustomed to go into the same place all the time. The area of taking a dog for a long walk to do a pee and poop is not necessary essential for a puppy. Puppies are going to go quick. After a puppy eats, drinks water, take the puppy outside right away, because a puppy could pee within a 3 to 4 minute period.
Wow, that's quick.
Yeah. Puppies, some puppies drink and watch it. You got to pick them up and take them outside right away. When you take a puppy out of a crate to go outside for the first time at 6:30 in the morning, you better grab it and run, because there are some puppies that are so excited when they see mommy or daddy taking them out of the crate, they might pee on the spot. So to prevent that, get them in the habit of going outside and get them in the habit of talking to them. This is another key that we establish. Talk to your dog like you'd talk to maybe one of your children in training them to use the toilet. We're going to go outside and pee. We're going to go outside and poop. Make it exciting, and because that's what you want to establish. So we have a lot of different directions. There's so much to do to take care of a puppy. It's just like taking care of a new baby coming into a household. And you better have your act in order. So before you hire a dog trainer, buy a book on the breed. And by the way, folks, before you buy the breed, you better know what you're getting yourself into. If you're living in a 1,500-square-foot apartment and you have allergies, you're not going to buy a German Shepherd. You're not going to buy a large dog that's going to shed or need a lot of exercise. And you really have to understand that breed. Now, I've been involved with greyhounds. We've had greyhounds all, you know, for the past 20 years. And people say, my God, you must have to run every morning and run at night. You must have to really give that dog a lot of exercise. Wrong. Greyhounds do not need a lot of exercise.
Really?
Greyhounds, in fact, are couch potatoes.
Interesting.
Now, is another thing. I have the pleasure of training, in fact, a dog, a breed that is most exciting, a Great Dane.
It's a big dog.
It's a big dog. And this big guy is a little over 4 months, and he, believe it or not, is gaining an average of 5 to 6 pounds per week.
Unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And in fact, I saw him on a Friday, and I was there on a Monday about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And seriously, Al, I swear to God, his paws were bigger. The ears were floppier. This guy is a typical, if you ever read the cartoon character Marmaduke, this guy is going to be a typical Marmaduke. Phenomenal personality, great dog, couch potatoes. They do not need a lot of exercise. In fact, in walking this guy outside, especially with this heat, which is very dangerous for any size dog, within 2 minutes, he did his business, and he just laid down on the ground. Just flopped on the ground, and we call it freezing. He didn't want to move. He didn't want to move. So we had to get him really excited to run back to the house. And by the way, I brought something up, and I hope you're all listening to what I just said. Very important. This hot weather is dangerous for dogs. Whenever I see a person walking a dog at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or jogging or on a bike, I actually pull over, get out of the car with my bottle of water and say, look, my friend, you're endangering your dog. Get back to the house. And sometimes these people are very, let's use the word, obnoxious to the fact that I'm telling them what to do with their dog. But be that as it may, the hot weather is very dangerous for your animals.
Why is that, though?
Well,
I guess it would be the same for an adult, a human.
Exactly. You know, dogs sweat through their paws. And the heat can actually give dogs sunburn. There are dogs you have either a pink pigment or a gray pigment. Dogs can have a sunburn. They're panting. They can dehydrate. So there are some people that say, well, I'm giving the dog a lot of water. All well and good, but still you have to think of a lot of the dog's health issues before you think of getting a dog out there to exercise so much in this heat.
So your advice then is to walk them in the morning or late in the evening?
Yes. Pick your time, the correct time, and that's ideal, is the morning hours, the early evening hours, late afternoon sometimes at 4:30, 5:30, it still could be 85, 90 degrees here in South Florida.
And it's going to be that way for the next several months.
Yeah, we're, from what I understand, we're in for a very hot summer and a very rainy summer.
Now, one other point I wanted to get back to on the new pet that people go and buy and they want to train.
Yes.
How important is it to them for, to learn, I guess you call it potty training, where they would have to urinate or defecate in the house until the point till they can take them outside?
Well, all dogs can go outside to do their business when they're young puppies. But you have to follow the guidelines of the veterinarian, because there are many dogs that don't have their shots. Their full grouping of shots is just like you're not allowed to take your dog to a boarding facility until you have your full grouping of shots. This is to protect the animal from picking up a disease, or let's use the word, unfortunately, a bug from another dog. And there are other dogs out there, very possibly, that have owners that don't believe in shots. Well, when your dog is young, when you have a puppy, the dog needs all the shots that are a necessity, and you have to follow those guidelines. So you want to stay in your own property, your own backyard, your front yard, and that's the location you want to keep your dog until that time where the shots are totally covered.
All right, and from that point on, things should be a lot smoother.
Yes, yes. The dog should be starting to get acclimated to its environment. You should have all your ducks in a row, so to speak, of where the dog should be going. And you should increase your communication, as I mentioned earlier in the show. Let's go outside and pee and poop when you're putting the leash on. If you're not going outside, if it's like, let's say, 10 o'clock in the morning and you have to go to the vet, there are some great vets out there that actually will get on the floor and talk to your dog. So there are some vets that have an incredible personality that the dogs just absolutely adore them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm dealing with a few vets like that, and they're just an absolute pleasure to do business with. You might say to your dog, we're going to so-and-so, and we're going to see Dr. So-and-so. In saying that, the dog gets a comfort zone, seriously, just like a 3 or 4 year old
right.
child. The dog is not going to be able to say, oh, we're going to see so-and-so, but you can tell by the dog's activity and their emotion, the dog might start to breathe heavy. You might even see the dog open their mouth, the tongue hanging out. That's a dog smiling. The dog's excited that is going to go see Dr. So-and-so. So you want to establish that all the time. And what we do is we increase communication skills between owner and dog.
Well, we're coming up on the last intermission. You're listening to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour, and today we're speaking with Mr. Steve Ginsberg, who is a specialist when it comes to training dogs. I have one quick question, Steve, to think about when we come back.
Yes, sir.
Do you train other animals beside dogs? Don't give us an answer right now, but we'll take it when we come back.
Okay.
You're listening to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. This is Al Foreman, our special guest, Mr. Steve Ginsberg. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Looking for quality groceries at great discounted prices? Look no more. You can find the brands you know at the very best prices at Save a Lot. And always at the best prices, EDLP prices, everyday low prices. I will say everyday lowest prices. That's right, EDLP, everyday lowest prices. Come on in, see for yourself. See the great selection and be amazed at the prices. Save a Lot Nutrition Centers, 3105 North State Road 7 in Margate. Go to SaveALotNutritionCenters.com, SAVALOT, NutritionCenters.com.
Caring for your health doesn't stop with taking the best supplements. Caring for your health also means reducing your exposure to harmful chemicals. Come see the great selection of skincare products containing no harmful chemicals, products that support your good health and the health of our world around us. Natural hair care, body washes, fragrances, essential oils, moisturizers. Support your good health with all the natural products at great prices. Fabulous prices. Unmatched prices. All at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7, Margate, 754-307-1655.
Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. Our very special guest today, Mr. Steve Ginsberg, who is speaking about dogs and pets. And we're going to get into that question I left off at the break with about whether or not Steve does train other animals besides dogs. But first, I want to make you aware of a couple of different things going on here at Save-A-Lot. The entire inventory, all the products that we have here at Save-A-Lot, through the end of June, will carry an additional 10% off our everyday low price. That's all the name brand products that we sell here will be an additional 10% off the everyday low price through June 30th. And the day after that, on July 1st, we have a holiday fair coming up. And the attendance will be dramatic because we're going to have about 40 to 45 different companies here being represented, giving away samples, literature, coupons, taste testings, and a lot of free products. And some of the companies that are participating, that I could let you know right now, are Jarrow, Garden of Life, New Chapter, Organic India, Ancient Nutrition, American Bioscience, Ilwa, Europharma, NeoCell, UP4, Natural Factors, Nature's Answer, Nature's Way, Flora, Rainbow Light, Rise Nutrition Bars, Oracacia, and Janet's Best. And again, these are only some of the companies that will be here the entire day. The holiday fair hours are 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And when we open those doors at 9 o'clock, you'll have the pleasure of meeting many of the companies that we have been doing business with since we opened here on December 5th. So take advantage of this great holiday fair that's going to go on July 1st, that Saturday, from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. And getting back to Steve Ginsberg about the issue of do you train other animals, Steve? What is the answer?
The answer is no.
Okay.
I jokingly, but being very serious, my mentor, who is probably one of the greatest dog trainers, and he's out of New York. He's written close to a dozen books. He and I had a great conversation a little less than 2 years ago, and his name is Bosch DeBra. Bosch said to me, Steve, I've now understanding all about the cats, and it's also by learning about the big cats, and we're talking about the lions and the tigers, because it all has a trickling down effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like we talk about the wolves and the wolf pack. It's more than a trickling down effect. It's true reality of all the instincts of dog is parallel to instincts of wolf. So I said, Bosch, as much as I respect and appreciate what you're accomplishing, I honestly don't have the time. So that's my answer, Al. As much as I would probably be interested, and I've read a book on the cat issue. Dogs are my thing. That's my passion.
So you're going to stick training dogs.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't discriminate about different breeds.
Oh, not at all.
So
no.
you will train any dog in any manner, way, shape, or form. Is that correct?
Yes. There are certain issues that are coming up. I work very close with Tri-County Animal Shelter in Boca. They are a true non-kill shelter. There are dogs that have been there for 5 and 6, 7 months waiting for that right person to come in. It's very special. And when that happens, we're all ecstatic because the dog finally has a home. And primarily, what is happening through certain areas of South Florida, and we joke about it sometimes, about the majority of all the dogs in Boca are little, small, tiny breeds, and they could all be white, but that's not always the case. there are, as I mentioned, Great Danes. This Great Dane I'm training right now was born at Tri-County. Why? Because Tri-County took in this pregnant mother and didn't realize it. There are a lot of things that are happening throughout the shelter industry. So we have many lodge dogs, in fact, that are in Tri-County right now. Magnificent shepherds and pointers and hound dogs and mixed breeds. Depending upon the situation with a dog, depends upon when they go to that person's home. Because after they fall in love with the owners, because the owners are feeding them, and that's the first example of love, by the way, Al. Once you feed a dog, you are taking care of the number one instinct, which is survival. So the dog, the first time they walk up to that bowl and they, excuse the pun, chow down, the dog backs up and says, I found a home. So you have something that a dog understands, that these people are going to take care of me, mm-hmm. and these people are going to love me. Now I have to understand that I have to respect these people, but the owners have to understand you have to build respect. Respect does not come. There was an old song written probably in the late 30s, early 40s. Love is not the answer, Al. As Aretha says, it's respect. And respect is earned. Respect is not given. So it's a true training process of how to understand what the dog's needs are. And some dogs don't even know what their needs are, because unfortunately a lot of the dogs that go through certain shelter areas are severely abused. Hmm. Without discussing this on the radio, there are some severe issues that are despicable. There are some people out there that have no respect for anything. It's all anger. So it takes a while for us to turn around a dog that has been abused in a certain way. For the dog to understand that we're giving them love, and they also have to understand what respect is all about.
Well, let me ask you a question that we haven't just really touched upon. But what in all your years of experience has been some of the toughest cases you've had as far as training goes?
Well, there's only really one thing that brings to mind, the Michael Vick issue. Yes, I've had the good fortune of working with one of his bait dogs. It was severe. It was probably the only time that in my career that I actually walked into an area, and it was the home of this lovely couple. In fact, the wife was at that time 3 months pregnant, and they had two little dogs. They were pugs. And this dog was brought to them by a friend they knew in Miami that had a small rescue place. Mm-hmm. And she took in two of the dogs that were in the fighting group. This dog was a bait dog.
Bait.
This dog baited two of the dogs to fight, to kill each other. He had scars, 36 was an easy number.
Wow.
Easy number. The dog was a mix between Yellow Lab, Shar-Pei, Chow Chow. What they did to this dog to create the meanness was beyond expectations. When I first saw this dog was in a room with a gate that was about 6.5 feet high, so he wouldn't jump over the gate. This guy actually wanted to eat me.
Wow.
Seriously. When he saw me walk in the room, I had that feeling, and I had it. It was a feeling.
By his actions.
By his total actions and demeanor, that this guy would just like to tear me apart. And for close to 4 weeks, and going to this house a few times a week, sometimes 3 times a week, to build up a relationship, I did not hold that leash for a month. That's how bad this guy was. Mm. But I have to tell you, it took almost six months to have this dog walk with me on a leash down the street, automatically sit and stay when I stopped, lick my hand. This was probably my my prize accomplishment.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you shared that with us.
Thank you.
And I want to give our listeners a bit more information how they can reach you. Because I think if anybody is looking to have a dog trained, they want to buy a new dog, get the dog trained properly, you definitely want to get in touch with Steve Ginsberg. And you can reach Steve at 954-304-2590. That's 954-304-2590. Or you could email him at sgins@att.net. That's sgins@att.net. Steve, I want to thank you very much for being with us today. You are most informative. Love the way you speak about the dogs, how much care and love that you express in your discussion, because you could tell that you're a warm-hearted individual when it comes to dogs.
Thank you, Ralph. So, always a pleasure being with you.
Well, I thank you very kindly. And for the benefit of listeners, you can rehear the show on our website by going to www.saveralotnutritioncenters.com. And you can even download it if you'd like to play it for yourself anytime you'd like. So keep that in mind on all the shows that we've done, and we've done 150 shows already on WWNN Radio 1470. Steve, thank you again. It's a pleasure to have you with us
today. You're welcome. My pleasure always.
And listening to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour, we will be back tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in every weekday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.